As we grow in our faith and walk in the life that the Holy Spirit gives us, we bear fruit. The Lord says that you will bear much fruit. Pastor Tim challenges us about fruit bearing and a fruit bearing life. Thank you for joining us.
Well, when I first got committed to the Lord, or I gave my life to the Lord on that Sunday morning, when I walked down, I stepped down, and I walked down. Mark, I'm really loud up here. Can you take me out of the monitors? I'm not okay. I feel real loud. When I stepped out and I walked down, it was a wonderful moment. I remember that day very, very much. It was a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful moment. And through the years, just watching different people get saved through the years, you know, it always, when someone gets set free, it's always a great moment. It is a wonderful moment to see someone set free. I love to watch it. When you see that burden of sin, when you see the burdens begin to fall off their back, begin to fall off their life, and they look at you, and I look at them and say, "Are you a born-again Christian?" And they look at me and say, "Yes, I am." That never should get old as a follower of Jesus Christ. That should never get old. And you know, and if we really truthfully want to be a disciple of the Lord, we must learn to disciple someone else. I believe that. And so those glorious moments, they really make a statement that we're living for Jesus now. When we go into baptism services, I believe that when you go into a baptism service, that Jesus has already to come in your heart, and it's just a public confession of what He has done inside of us, that He has changed us, He has set us free of our sin. And I love what we do baptisms around here, and we're singing, and it's a celebration, it's a worship time. And so those are a glorious moments, and we begin a journey with the Lord. And all of a sudden, our attitudes, our decisions, our treatment of people around us, our goals in life, they begin to change. They suddenly begin to change. They change course in our lives when we accept Jesus. When we accept Jesus Christ. And why is that? Why is that? Well, we once desired other things of the world. Now we have a desire to see God do something beautiful in our lives on this journey. We begin to look a different way. We begin to think a different way. We begin to act and behave in a different way. We act and behave in a different way. We begin, and why? What happens? Why is that changed? Because we begin to live by the Spirit. We are walking in the Spirit. You know, that's the reason that we do the things that we do as a Christian people. Because we begin to walk in the Spirit. It's a new and a fresh thinking. It's a new and fresh life in Jesus Christ. Because He dwells within us. He dwells within us. I made it my... One of my... The things that I wanted to do as a pastor... And as a preacher of the word, is I do not accept when people struggle with a Christian walk. I'm just not going to accept it for people. I want to see people right with the Lord. I want to see them victorious, living a victorious life. And that because I want us to be free. This church is called Freedom Church for a reason. Because who the Son sets free is free indeed. And so I want us to take a look at our Christian maturity. My question for us again today, are we progressing or aggressing in our Christian maturity? Are we growing in the Lord, as we will say, that you heard if you've been in church very long, that type of terminology? Are we moving ahead? Are we headed to a destination? Are we growing in the Lord? Let's turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Paul is taking us on an important journey here about living in the Spirit. And it's wonderful, a scripture. And in the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about the fruit of the Spirit. We're also going to be talking about the works of the flesh. But today is kind of introductory to that. It says to live by the Spirit, I say. In other words, Paul wants to get our attention. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Listen to that again. One more time. Live by the Spirit. Live by the Spirit. It's an imperative in the Greek. It's a command. Live by the Spirit, I say. And do not gratify the desires of the flesh. Do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit. And what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other. They don't necessarily a war against each other. They just oppose you. That they are two polar this way and this way. To prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, and it's important, you're not subject to the law. This is a good scripture, isn't it? So let's dive into this. In verse 15, he was discussing about the church. He was talking about a Christian freedom in verse 15 and up from there about what Christian freedom is. And he ends that section about Christian freedom, you know, with that you're trying to devour one another. You're trying to, you know, you really are not taking care of one another. You're being consumed by one another. And he says there's no good Christian freedom in that. And he's talking to this church here. There's so much was going on that you're actually consuming one another. And so when we begin, so I'll just do it this way. Here's a telltale sign if you're walking in the Spirit. Are you at peace with others around you? Are you at peace with others around you? Or is there always seemingly an underlying issue with others? A whole lot. A whole lot. It's not there's an underlying issue. There's always an issue with somebody. There's always a problem that you may have. There's always, you know, you're always looking for maybe for something that is wrong. A negativity in your life. Or, you know, it's, you know, one of those things, if you a glass is half full or half empty. Is that what you're supposed to say it? You know, I try to be one of those people that a glass is just overflowing, you know. That's the way I want to be. It's just overflowing. But my question is, when you begin to hear someone speak the way I'm speaking on how you deal with people around you, with your wife or your husband or your children, or you're at work, wherever you are, is it difficult? Live by the Spirit, he says. In other words, he says, let your walk and your conversation be dominated by the Spirit. You know, there's times that we want to lash out, but we decide we will not. What keeps us from lashing out? Because we're walking in the Spirit. There's times that we see something that looks good, and we have a lust is about to set in. What keeps us? Because we're walking in the Spirit. Because we're walking in the Spirit. We have a destination. We're headed somewhere. We're walking in the Spirit. When that moment of that a decision that comes, that we fall to a temptation, for whatever reason that temptation has come in our lives, and I always have to say this, I would guarantee you 99.9% of temptations that come in our life is because we presented them in our life. We put ourselves in a situation to be tempted. We put ourselves in someone's presence to be tempted. Live by the Spirit. Let your walk and your conversation be dominated by the Spirit. You know, I just told this a story a couple years ago. Now, my wife likes to walk down the road, and She was walking down the road and turned a corner, and a big old a bloodhound, you know how big they are, if you know what a bloodhound is, came running across the field, headed right straight for her. He jumped on her, bit her on the arm, you know, it really hurt her, you know, and somebody stopped on the side of the road just to help her, to get the dog off of her. And it was the neighbor's dog, was way down the road and stuff. My first instinct was at the moment, that's my wife. You don't mess with my wife. Remember, I was bow up and it scares everybody. You know, people start running. Again, I'll say that again. They just start running everywhere when I bow up. You know, because we want to, you know, to do something. And then in that moment of that, I'm going to get my gun. I'm going to go walking. You bring it on, bloodhound. You just bring it on. That was my first thought. Yeah, I'm going to go with you next time. Come on. Dude, you want to go right now? Just get down the road. That was my first thought. And then, what happened? In the presence of walking with the Lord, I sensed that still small voice within me. It says, okay. If that's what you're going to do, what's going to happen after you shoot that man's dog? Now, I'm not saying you got to protect your family. Don't get reading all of this and say blah, 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 okay? I understand. We're going to see what happens here. See, I could have. Because every time I would walk down the road, here he comes. You know how they are. Oh, go. Interesting thing. We did it. We called the sheriff's department. People have been calling. The neighbors finally put a fence up to keep the dog in. But what if I had gotten in the flesh? Remember, they oppose one another. And as a Christian and as a pastor, I marched down there just to save the honor of my wife. What do you think would happen? My relationship with them would probably have been severed. A few months later, I actually saw one of the people that lived in that house, and I was at, which we was walking down the same aisle, and she walked by, which I know her, and I said, "Hey, how you doing?" And so we talked. Then she turned around, and she says, "I'm so sorry about the dog." Then I bowed up again. I'm kidding. I said, "You know, it's been taken care of." And she and I had a great conversation together. And guess what I was able to do? Would you like to come to Church of Freedom? See the difference in the moments that we were walking in the present tense. It says here we're walking in the Spirit. That we're making those decisions. We're making those moments that, you know, that if we're not walking in the Spirit, boom. Chaos happens. Chaos happens. So because we want to gratify the flesh. Yeah, my flesh then was like, I'm going to go save the honor of my wife. This word gratify really means satisfy. This desire to stand up against someone. Someone made me look bad. Someone, you know, embarrassed me in front of other people or something. So therefore I lash out. It makes us feel satisfied when we satisfy the flesh. It feels good, doesn't it? Say amen. All times it feels real good in that moment. That it just kind of, it's a gratification. And we live in a society that that's what we're all about pretty much. You look anywhere, watch any commercial, anything, it's to gratify. And there's nothing wrong with having things and having fun, but it's a difference when we're not walking in the Spirit. It's a desire to stand up against someone. So what has to happen in our life? These are opposing the flesh and the Spirit. They oppose one another. It's amazing that we look and, you know, and sometimes we want to do harm as Christians to others. That's what Paul was saying up above here, that you want to devour one another. It's that you see something wrong in someone else's life, or you hear about someone You know, and that's the flesh. That you want to repeat it or talk to someone about it. You know what's going on? You know what's happening? I would say this very clearly. Well, let me say it again this way, what the Word says. As a Christian, if we find ourselves in those moments, kind of often, I would seriously doubt that we're walking in the Spirit. Seriously doubt it. This past week, well, just two or three days ago, I had a Jesus meeting. Come to Jesus meeting. You ever had a come to Jesus meeting? You know, and he began to reveal some two areas of my life. He says, "You have not crucified in your flesh with that." I believe that our attitude and our heart, we're living for the Lord, and Holy Spirit's living within us, and I'm walking with the Lord. And I'll be honest with you, most of the time I am present tense, walking in the Spirit, but there's some things in my life, these moments in my life that I, you know, the Lord says, you know, Tim, you are a husband, a father, and a pastor, and you're so unhealthy that you could die. You know, he got my attention on that. Now, my response to that is, it can be one of two things. I keep on eating. I keep on doing the same thing. And then possibly die real young. Or I can walk in the Spirit with that and actually do something about it. See how this works? Is that when the Lord speaks to our heart and we're walking in the Spirit, we're able to hear Him. We're able to listen to Him. We're able for Him to reveal things to us. We're able to hear things. We're teachable. You know, we're open to the Lord. And when He begins to reveal things, it didn't catch me by surprise when He said that. Oh, really? I ate too much? I didn't know. But that's the way we act. Oh, really? That's what we act. Oh, I need to stop up. Okay. It's a crucifying of those moments, those things in our life that continue to pull us in that other polar opposite. So what has to be done? We must yield. Why? Once again, because the flesh and the Spirit are opposed. You're going to yield to one or the other. You're going to yield to one or the other. You are. And I am. You're going to yield to one or the other. Which one is going to basically win, if you want to use that terminology. It says here that in the midst of all this, it says that you're not a subject to the law. What they were trying to do, they were still trying to live by the law. They were still trying to say, if I can dot every I, cross every T, then therefore I'm walking in the Spirit. Therefore, the things are good. I can do what God has called me to do. I think sometimes we really do not believe that God can do what He says that He can do. I look at Ginger here today. I imagine there's a time in her life when she found herself in the Hope House, undone, afraid, and scared. Right, Ginger? And she's had her testimony. This is nothing new. But when she began to, when Michael Smith and his folks began to come and pick her up, and she found her place here, and the Lord began to work in her life, she started a journey of faith that has been wonderful to watch. Wonderful to watch. And I think sometimes we really do not believe that God can do what He says He's going to do. I've had people look at me and say, "You don't know how awful I am, how bad I am." You know, my answer is, yeah, I really do. That always confuses them. I say, you pretty are, pretty much. There's no secret to how you are. It's just another way of us gratifying the flesh when we make those type statements. Because it feels good. You just don't know how bad I've been. And the Lord is trying to teach us when He comes in. It's about surrender. You have to surrender for the Lord to come in our heart and to change us, to set us free. It's about surrender. It's about a yield to Him. It's a leading. It's a walking. It says here that we're led by the Spirit. We're led by the Spirit. I like to be led. Come here, Russell. I didn't tell Russell I was going to do something. Come here, Russell. Russell's scared half to death. Russell, I want you to close your eyes. Okay? Do not look anywhere. Okay? All right? And don't make me look bad. If you know how where are these... I tell you what. I'm going to choose somebody that's... They sit all over the place, which messes me up when they do that. With your eyes closed, don't be looking. Already misbehaving. With your eyes closed... I want you to go and shake at Chad at Thomas's hand. Go ahead. Okay, he just said he couldn't. I turn around, your eyes closed. I could take him by the hand and take him to Chad. He's sitting right over yonder. And I can lead him to Chad. You say, thank you, Russell. I won't take no way back. I could lead him. It says we're led by the Spirit. The problem is an issue with us as Christians. We're very seldom allowing Him to lead. Very seldom. That's the reason we make the decisions we make. That's the reason we make the financial decisions we make. That's the reason I overeat. That's the reason things when I go and sit at a restaurant. So some of you said, hey, I'm going to take you out. I'm like, where are we going? You know, I'm ready to go. Where we're going, it's like we laugh about it sometimes. We get in the office at, you know, 8:30. Patrick James will walk by. I never do this. They do it. Where's lunch? That's one of the first conversations we have. Where's lunch? I go out with Ben this week. Ben in Presswood, he's eating all healthy and stuff, getting a salad bar. Yeah, I'll have a salad bar. I didn't want to get that salad bar. Give me a big old hamburger. I'm ready to go with it. I want to be led by the Spirit. And the only way I'm going to be led by the Spirit is Russell had to yield to me and trust me. That I was going to take him by the hand and take him right back there to Chad and where he was. It's a matter of trust. It's a matter of faith when we walk with the Lord. That He knows what He's doing. You might not understand it. You might not see it, but it's walking. In the first century, they understood this whole analogy about walking with the Spirit because they had to walk everywhere. They always had a destination line. In our society, we get in a car, we get in a plane, and we got zoom, 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 zoom to get where we wanted. They understood this very much within their heart and mind. That I believe there's a destination. It's going to... Maybe that would take me a while, but at least I'm walking. At least I'm learning as I walk. At least when on this journey with the Lord, when something comes in those moments when a dog bites my wife, well, I made the right decision. When someone cuts me off in traffic, that's when the flesh comes out, doesn't it? Yeah, I see y'all looking at one another. Husbands punching wives. I love it too, because if you get around them, somebody cuts you off and they're like, you know, I had a guy do something. I was in the wrong. I pulled out too soon. He came by. He went by me and there was a Jesus sticker on his bumper. I said, I know the way you walking, buddy. Have some grace with me. I stutter. I didn't see the sign. You know, then we have excuses on why we did what we did. Someone does this to us, then we want to do it back. I've done it before. Here's the interesting thing. This is how the Lord works. I was, when they had the kids, we was going to Learn Safari. I was just going along, minding my own business, and this guy pulled out and ran to college there, and I was turning around because I had to drop I rally off and I had to come around and turn to make a U-turn to head back towards the mall area. And this guy was coming out of the college thing. And I had to ride away. And I'm about to pull out. And he just zooms across. He looked at me and goes, and honestly, once again, I went back, you know. I'm walking down to get to Learn Safari. Guess who drives up behind me? Like, hi, I'm the First Baptist preacher. How you doing? Nice to meet you. I'm just kidding. Some of you got it. But in those moments, our testimony can be gone that fast. Gone. Gone. In that moment. Why? Because we're allowing the flesh to creep in. We're walking in the Spirit. And the verse 19 that we didn't read, and we're going to be going over these, it's called the works of the flesh. Then further down in verse 22, it's the fruit of the Spirit. Works is something that I'm trying to do. And when I try to do it, guess what happens? I make a mess of things. But the fruit of the Spirit, there's something within me. There's a seed been planted in me and it's growing. And that's the Holy Spirit is taking things and it's moving out of me. And all of a sudden I begin to love when I used to couldn't love. I was once impatient. All of a sudden I have patience. Once I had no self-control. Wow, I have self-control. Why? Because I'm walking in the Spirit and He's moving within me. We have a choice today to surrender. We have a choice. And it's a matter of a choice. And the Lord has given us everything that we need to be able to make those choices in the way He has called us to make them. I want to walk in the Spirit. It's in the present tense all the way through here. That means that not sometimes, but all the time. All the time. I'm walking. Walking in the Spirit. My question for us today. As a believer. As a believer in the Lord. Are we going to continue to struggle? I'll say this again. I've heard it many, many times. And I'll say it again. When someone looks at you and says, you know what? You know, we sin in word, thought, and deed every day. If that's true then how in the world can we live in victory? How in the world can we live in victory? I have people says, we have to. Because we still have the flesh. We have to sin in word and thought and deed every day. We have to. They only read one side of Romans. They stop somewhere in there when it says, so therefore, if grace abounds, then do we just keep on sinning? Paul gets ugly there in the Greek. He is even almost angry there. He says, what in the world are you talking about? God forbid. God forbid. I believe there's victory in Jesus. Yes, are we always going to do it while we walk in the Spirit? I wish I could say in our actions there are times we do things that we just need to call sin. You know, we often say, I made a mistake. Ever heard that before? I think it's time that we as Christian people, you know, that's what the world says. You watch any show, you watch any politician that tries to apologize for something, they'll use the word, oh, I made a mistake. A mistake to me a lot of times is something that I really didn't have full conscious of. And I didn't really mean to do it. I just made a mistake. It's time that we come back to this understanding. Just call it sin. And let God deal with it. Just call it for what it is. In those moments. Just call it for what it is. And you say, Tim, I don't understand. I like you saying one, you're saying two different things here. We're walking in the Spirit, and He's working within us. I just believe there's victory. And there's moments for whatever reason that something like a dog attacking my wife, in that moment, is I paused. And something came to mind that I could do. But praise God, immediately I picked up the walking. And the Lord says, there you go. There's been many times that I paused and I turned. Then I had to pay a heavy price for it. A heavy price. Listen to these words. The life of discipleship, of following Jesus and of holiness is not defined by what we avoid doing. What we avoid doing. You know, you hear all the time, says, well, I don't do this, 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 I don't do this. Ever heard that before? Say amen. I don't do this, I don't do this. The life of discipleship, of following Jesus and of holiness is not defined by what we avoid doing. It is characterized by vibrant, robust, and adventurous living in the Spirit, allowing us to be led by the Spirit, and we are free to say no to the flesh. Say no to the flesh. This brings freedom. And we're set free. Not by our own doing, but by the Holy Spirit that is working within us and through us. And so these next few weeks, several weeks, we will be talking about the works of the flesh. And we're going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit in the same sermon. And we're going to have fun doing it. And my quest in our Christian maturity is for us to continue to be open with ourselves and honest with ourselves. Lord, that's an area right there. Lord, that's an area I need victory in. And I believe, and through this whole time when we start doing this, that there's going to be testimonies. I've been set free, Pastor. I've been set free. That's my hope and that is my prayer. I want you to stand.
Our challenge this week is to go forth and bear the fruit of the Spirit, not to do the works of the flesh. It's our hope and our prayer as you grow and as you learn and you grow in your desire to be Christ-like, that God's Spirit will guide you and lead you into all truth. Thank you for joining us today. I'm Pastor James St. John on behalf of Pastor Tim and our Freedom Church family. Have a great week.